Here we are at Ruth 3. All right. Any of you read ahead? All right. What do you remember from last week or the week before? Yes. That's right. Ruth was out there. The word is gleaning, right? And some of the other reapers, they were kind of like, and furthermore, what was wrong with her? A Moabite. She was a ferner, right? And what's worse is she's not just any ferner, but she is like the worst kind of foreigner, okay? Remember, we're warming this story up to be kind of a parallel with, equivalent to the Good Samaritan, right? Where the one who everybody who's hearing the story thinks should be the bad guy is actually the good guy or the good gal in this situation. So what else do you remember? Anything in particular? Some of you that haven't been here, we need information. Yeah. Okay, the guy who's helped her is not actually related to Ruth, but related to Naomi, and therefore by marriage is related to her. But there are some rules and laws that are at work here. Levirate marriage, maybe. We're not quite sure what, but we've got some things operating here that we're not completely familiar with, and they are trying to leverage some security for themselves, right? What else? Anything? Naomi changed her name to Mara, right? And what does Mara mean? Bitter, okay? Because she came back to Bethlehem empty, right? She went away full, and she came back empty, which is really a great segue into this week's session because the end of this particular reading, there's some action taken to help her be less empty, okay? Anything else? Well, let me let Dr. Wolf introduce a little bit more of this story before we actually hear it read for us today. So let's move to Dr. Lisa Wolf from Uppity Women in the Bible.
Naomi sends her daughter-in-law Ruth down to the threshing floor with the purpose, according to 3 verse 1, of seeking some security for Ruth. Remember, she's very vulnerable as a widow here. And Naomi is trying to take care of her. So she sends Ruth down to the threshing floor, the place where they would have separated the wheat from the chaff. I gather that there are other ways of doing these things now than just having a big floor where you would beat the stuff or something like that. The thing is, a threshing floor had a little bit of a reputation in that time, okay? So there's a place in the book of Hosea that indicates things happened with women of the night, so to speak, on the threshing floor. So it may have been that this reference to go down to the threshing floor where Boaz will be after he has eaten and drunk and he will be in a contented mood. You can check my quotations here there in chapter 3. It seems that Ruth's mother-in-law is sending her down to the red light district, but specifically to see Boaz. And she tells her what to do. She tells her to get all dressed up and smelling nice and looking good, and to go down there, as I said, after he has eaten and drunk, and after he lies down, then go uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. Now, go uncover his feet. Like, what is she going to do, a little foot massage here or what? I mean, that sounds strange to us. Right, but feet in the Hebrew Bible is clearly a euphemism for genitals. Not always. Sometimes feet are just feet. The storyteller is playing with us here because the storyteller does not tell us exactly what Naomi wanted to have happen between Ruth and Boaz, nor does the storyteller tell us exactly what did happen. So we have this sort of sketchy description, and a good deal is left to our imaginations, right? Which kind of makes it fun or irritating. It depends on your point of view, right? So we have this threshing floor scene, and Ruth does everything that Naomi told her to do until she gets to the point where Boaz is startled because there's a woman lying at his feet. And Ruth goes beyond what her mother-in-law told her to do, and she tells Boaz what to do. She says, "Spread your cloak over your servant, for you are Goel." How about that? And that "spread your cloak over your servant" is interesting because that word for cloak is the same word for wing, where Boaz said, "May God's wing cover you and protect you" in chapter 2. But there are other places also in the Hebrew Bible where "spread your cloak over another person" was also a euphemism for sleeping together, because the cloak was like the blanket, right? So spread your blankets over me. So it's functioning on many levels here. And in the end, there's just so much to wonder about. What was happening?
Wow. All right. Are you ready to hear the story? Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to read it today, and we're going to have the benefit of some art, because artists through the ages have taken this story and have interpreted it in a lot of different ways. I want to thank Phil Felker, who is a docent at the Phoenix Art Museum, for helping me with a couple of these images. Let me just say that if you like the image, give Phil the credit. If you don't like the image, he had nothing to do with it, okay? It was my choice then, okay? So we're going to have a couple of our readers today read us the story from Ruth 3.
Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, said to her,
"My daughter, I need to seek some security for you, so that it may be well with you. Now here is our kinsman Boaz, with whose young women you have been working. See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Now wash and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." Ruth said to her, "All that you tell me, I will do."
So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had instructed her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk, and he was in a contented mood, he went to lie down at the heap of grain. Then she came stealthily and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight, the man was startled and turned over, and there, lying at his feet, was a woman.
He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your cloak over your servant, for you are next of kin." He said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. This last instance of your loyalty is better than your first. You have not gone after young men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, do not be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask, for all the assembly of my people know that you are a worthy woman. But now, though it is true that I am a near kinsman, there is another kinsman more closely related than I. Remain this night, and in the morning, if he will act as next of kin for you, good, let him do it. If he is not willing to act as next of kin for you, then, as the Lord lives, I will act as next of kin for you. Lie down until morning."
So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before one person could recognize another. For he said, "It must not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." Then he said, "Bring the cloak you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it in her back. And then he went to the city.
She came back to her mother-in-law, who said, "How did things go with you, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, He gave me these 6 measures of barley, for he said, do not go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed. She replied, wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out. For the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today. Here are the words of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Loving and gracious Spirit, we're thankful for these words of wisdom from so long ago. And may we hear them today for our lives as we gather and seek to follow the one we call Jesus. Amen. Wow. Well, what'd you think? Is there any question about what's going on here? Maybe. I see blushing out there. Well, in this chapter, the storyteller's penchant for puns, wordplay, and double entendres is really difficult to pass off as innocent. There are 3 distinct scenes, and several words dominate these scenes, and it's really interesting. Gola means uncover. Gola means uncover. And the other word that you're familiar with is goel, which can literally be translated as recover, as in redeem. So do you see you've got this kind of play on words going on? You've got uncovering in order to achieve recovery, right? So you've got uncovering and recovering going on all at the same time. You also have the word sakab, which means lie down, and yada, all through this whole passage. And yada is the word that you may have heard of before in other texts of the Bible. That is to know someone, as in the biblical sense, right? Yada is to know someone. Now, one commentator said that misplaced prudery may tempt modern readers to try to cover up the suggestive nature of this text, but doing so robs the story of its meaning. You got to keep in mind, if you've read any of the Bible, all the other stories where women take the initiative to get things that they need or to get things that are owed them from men who are either being irresponsible or who have turned them away. We've got all kinds of stories in the Hebrew scripture that are examples of that. And don't forget who Ruth's ancestors are. Remember? Who is she descendant of? The Moabites. And where did the Moabites come from? Lot's daughters. Now, let me just ask you this. Lot's daughters got their father drunk and slept with him. Does that sound familiar here at all? Right? What is Boaz's condition? He's mellow. Yeah. Right? He's contented, right? And here comes Ruth, doing what Moabite women do, evidently, right? That's what people who are listening to this story and who hate Moabites are going to be jumping to this conclusion. So, whatever is going on, Boaz thinks it's a good deal, right? Clearly, he states that, A, he is the beneficiary of chesed, of loving kindness. He's kind of... he's startled, right? He says, oh my gosh, you've chosen an old man over a young man. And either that is really good, you're really faithful to me, or you're being super faithful to the memory of Elimelech because you want his line to continue. Or there might be some combination of the two. Dr. Wolf says Boaz's response, this last instance of your loyalty is better than the first. Wow, right? Wow, that's supposed to be funny, right? Your last instance of loyalty was going with your mother-in-law, right? The next instance of your loyalty was whatever just happened, right? And he said, wow, this is way better than that last one, right? Now, the double entendres continue when Boaz refers to Ruth as a worthy woman, because the word used here that we get translated as worthy woman also has overtones of procreative powers. Man, you look fertile. basically, right? That's what is going on. And Hebrew speakers would have heard that in the story. So needless to say, since the threshing room floor has a reputation, Boaz gets Ruth moving early in the morning, right? Let's get you going. Let's get you out of here so that no one can, you know, accidentally catch a glimpse of you here, right? And then he measures out 6 measures of barley. And there's some discussion as to exactly how much that was, but it was a fair amount. And there are lots of interpretations as to what that 6 measures is for. One is, was it a token of apology? You know, from Boaz, maybe I didn't act fast enough to embrace you as next of kin. Maybe it's an apology. Maybe it's a bride price or a settlement, right? Here's the bride price. One commentator suggested that it was payment for services rendered in the night. Is the seed a symbol of promised fertility in the future, of Elimelech's seed? Not knowing, remember, Boaz does not know that this whole thing was Naomi's idea. Think about that, right? Did you hear that? So he doesn't. He could be terrified, like, oh my gosh, when Naomi finds out what happens, right? So is he trying to buy off Naomi with 6 measures of barley? Now, who knows what it is? Who knows if it's some combination? It's fun to think about what's going on there, because depending on who the storyteller is and how you tell the story and what your purposes are, I think you could work any one of those in. Now, when Naomi greets Ruth, it's translated as in a variety of ways. The one I like the best is like, how'd it go? Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. You know, I mean, that's the implication, right? That in the Hebrew, it's just pretty straight ahead. How'd it go, right? But it's translated in English in a lot of our texts as, how are things with you? Or can literally be translated as, who are you, my daughter? In other words, has your status changed in the night? Are you someone different than the person I sent out last night? And we'll find out in the next chapter that it certainly has. She is a different person. We've got a lot of double meanings and triple meanings at work in this story, but one that I think has important guidance for us today. Ruth indeed uncovers something, and while we can go all church lady on that part of the story, what she is uncovering is essentially Boaz's role as the recoverer, the Goel, something that he has been dragging his feet, so to speak, on, or he's been putting it off, or he's been trying to get around it. He even in this passage says, there's still one more guy. Let's check with him, right? Before we move on this, okay? One more guy, younger. Ruth just says, look, mister, cover me with your wings. It's your responsibility. That's what she says, right? Cover me with your wings. Now, to bring it home, it's a good reminder to us, generally speaking, the privileged and the well-off, that we have a responsibility. We have an obligation to care for who? Moabite widows? Orphans? The alien among us? Yes. So who are the Moabite widows today? Can we start to create some categories and see who they are? The first question then for today's discussion is, who would like to volunteer to marry attractive young foreign widows to make sure they are not without children? Don't see any volunteers yet. So you're not going to go literal on me. Okay, that's good. So let's do what we've done in the last couple of weeks, and I've got a couple of questions for you to consider, to turn to one of your neighbors and to make sure to introduce yourself so that everybody knows who everybody is. And the first question is, in your opinion, is Ruth a marionette being manipulated by a crafty mother-in-law? Or is Ruth manipulating Boaz into getting what she wants and needs? Or is it some combination? Ready? Go! Okay. Anybody like to share what their group talked about? I want to hear what this group talked about back there. That, it sounded embarrassing. So, okay, right there. What we? Oh, but they're blushing back there. The.
Well, she's got a song, and the title of it is "Was I." And the theme running through it was, "Was I drunk? Was he handsome? And did Mama give me hell?"
Oh, all right. So everybody needs to download Madeline Peru's "Was I" this afternoon. What else? Yeah.
We don't think manipulation is a good word to be describing what happens here, unless it's seen in a positive way. Ruth was doing what she had to do to survive. Mm-hmm. And we're not sure that we can call that manipulation.
Okay.
Necessity, maybe.
Okay.
Well, as far as the manipulation, Ruth was really fulfilling the prophecy. Remember, there's the great-grandmother of David involved in this.
Okay, excellent. Don't give away my story for next week now, Phil.
I don't remember if it was last week or the week before, and we were talking about social programs, and in this case, it's somebody like Sharon said, it's you'd have to do what you have to do to take care of yourself and your children and your family, and you know, within reason, of course. But that's what she was doing. If you call it manipulation, I think it's you know, discussing it with family, friends, and figuring out what you have to do to make your life work.
Right. Cool.
I think we're making a little too much out of a sex act.
Oh, all right. Your opinion. All right, anybody else? Well, next question then. Is this entrapment? Is it shaming Boaz into fulfilling his legal obligation as Goel? I think Sharon kind of alluded to that. How might his hesitancy be tied to the fact that she is a foreigner? Ready? Go. 30 seconds. Okay, so what did you decide? What's going on? Entrapment, yes or no?
No.
No, okay. So what's going on? Anybody want to share? I heard a lot of talking going on, so. Yeah.
To me, it just seems like it's what normally we do in the dating scene. You dress up nice to attract a guy, and the guys are on their best behavior to attract the girl, so I don't really see it as entrapment. I see it more as, you know, just kind of technique.
Okay. How about this foreign element? You think that's holding him back at all? No? His age, all right, his age. Well, just another one. What do you think of Naomi and Ruth for concocting and carrying out the events on the threshing room floor? I mean, we've kind of talked about that a little bit. Normal for the time? And we've heard a lot of comments about doing what needs to be done, holding Boaz responsible, that kind of thing. Question four, what do you think happened on the threshing room floor? Okay, we're not going to discuss that one. Okay. I just thought I'd put it out there to worry you, okay? You notice we did not do a melodrama on this one, right? So the other question is, what bearing does any of this have on following Jesus? What lessons can you take from this story? I mean, a lot of commentators and preachers talk about this being a story of Ruth's redemption, right? But isn't it even more a story of Boaz's redemption? I mean, I think there's a good argument for that. So let me just ask you one more thing. Just take a minute here and see if you can come up with a stream of thought for me. Ready? Go. With your group. So you can think of a good stream of thought for today. Something to take away from today. Oh, now there are children here, so we need to keep it PG at least. All right. Streams of thought? Okay, here's a stream of thought from Candy.
when the opportunity arises, take advantage of it.
All right. We've got another one right here.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
You gotta do what you gotta do. Any others?
Opportunities for redemption.
Opportunities for redemption. Okay. All right. Well, I want to thank you again for helping out on making the message something today that all of us will remember. And next week, we're going to come to our, I'm not going to use the word climax. We're going to come to the end of Ruth chapter 4. And we're going to find out that Ruth is pregnant. And we're going to find out what happens with Boaz and Naomi and the whole crew. So don't miss next week's installment of Ruth chapter 4.